Welcome to the Real Talk of Dental, where we pull back the bib and talk about what's really going on beneath the surface. Not just the charts, not just the systems. We're talking about the culture, the chaos, and the confessions. I'm Brandy Marzolino, and with 20 years deep in this industry, I am fresh out of patience for performative leadership. This is your space to laugh, cry, question everything, and maybe shout into a pillow between patients. We've got anonymous confessions, we've got call-ins, we've got ops room drama, and we've got the truth, served hot and a little too real. Think of this as your backstage pass to the break room no one dares to mic. Until now. You spend anywhere from $35,000 to $55,000 to send your team to an industry event as a vendor, hoping to build some relationships and get some sales. Then you come home with a couple leads, a few conversations, and then you spend months nurturing these leads and trying to build rapport and relationships. A lot of companies are now questioning their ROI on some of these big industry events. Well, that's where Michael Scott, not the Michael Scott from The Office, but the other Michael Scott from Smile Together, came up with a really cool new way to do these types of industry events with your client sitting across from you, your potential client sitting across from you, and you as the vendor trying to pitch them within about 13 minutes. Their inaugural event was just this past fall, and according to those that attended, it was a smashing success. So now they're gearing up for round two. Could this be the new way of doing some industry events in dentistry? Quite possibly, as many people are getting priced out of some of these big events and finding it harder and harder to really connect in a meaningful way after they go to these events, because there's just so many people, there's so much noise, there's so many interruptions. And honestly, there's a lot of speakers that people are just hearing over and over and over again, and they're kind of tired of hearing the same old talking heads on the same old stages. Something has got to shift, and I feel like we're at a pivotal point in the dental industry where more and more people are starting to ask for more intentional and more specially curated environments to really get the most from these experiences. This is obviously something that I'm very committed to in really getting to the depths of what are your beliefs and what are your values, which are the first 2 months of my Empowered Leadership Experience program, and really understanding what do you believe, what are your values, and are the activities that you're embarking on align with your beliefs and values? Most often than not, they don't. And so we want to take a really hard look at what we believe in, what's important to us, and if we're really following in that path. This is a really fun conversation, and also learned that Michael is a coach for high school kids, which has been something really fun and something I'm passionate about as well. Being a coached high school athlete and having some exceptional coaches in my life that made a really big difference. Please welcome Michael Scott from Smile Together. Michael Scott, not to be confused with the one and only Michael Scott from The Office, which I'm sure you get all of the time. One of the most epic shows in American history. There we go. Yes, you and I met last summer, I believe, at a dental event. And little did I know, you were just getting started in the dental space. So as somebody who's new to the dental industry, how the heck did you get here and why are you still here?
Man, well, first off, thank you for having me on. I mean, it's an honor. When we talked, you were saying, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. And I was like, let's do that. You should do it. And here you are. I don't know, how many episodes are you in? Like, I should know this, but.
Yeah, I think this might be like 34 or 35 or something like that.
Yeah, you told me that I was one of the very first people that you had told that. And so I'm a little offended that like it's taken to 35 to get here, but
I needed to warm up. I needed to warm up first before I had you on. Fair, so fair I needed enough. To put in my wrap. So fair I had to prepare enough. Myself. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. No, I love the dental industry. It's a great industry. How I got here was kind of through a friend of a friend and got introduced to the CEO of Smile Together and had never been in the dental industry before. I've been in medical a little bit, tech sales, a little bit of everything. And the event world and the dental world kind of collided. And so it made a lot of sense. I could understand the vision. And I think it's a great industry and one that I'm very excited to be a part of.
Yeah. What are some of the things that you like about the dental industry, I guess, that you haven't experienced in other industries before?
I would say the biggest thing that is kind of interesting to me from a dental industry standpoint is everybody is just, for better or worse, actually, like totally okay with being themselves. And I love it and I'm here for it. And they are truly authentically themselves. I've come from other industries where it's like very buttoned up, you know, they got the tie, they got the suit, and you know, they're like, oh, very nice to meet you. And you know, they can't laugh and they can't, they're very stoic, and it's very like, okay, well, what solutions do you have? And it's like, good grief, man, get a personality and like, let's have some fun. But I think the dental industry allows space for that, and they're okay with you being whoever you want to be. And I think that is probably the most refreshing thing that I can possibly think of. And one thing that I was not accustomed to, and so that was kind of an interesting, whoa, like you really don't care. And that's cool. More power to you. But it's also allowed me to like lean in authentically as well.
Yeah. I mean, you're in the events space, which is a whole thing in and of itself. And so tell me about Smile Together and what seems to be sort of an unorthodox approach to dental events these days.
You know, we do what's called a hosted buyer model, which means we pay for the decision makers to come to the event, right? We pay for their hotel, their travel, most of their food, although DSOs never really pay for any of their food at any events. So we are doing that as well. But, and in return, they are sitting with our vendors. And so it's a speed dating, networking, whatever you want to call it, but we guarantee you a certain number of meetings based upon your package. And then you sit down with these DSOs and or these GPs and say, hey, this is what I have. This is what how we help people. And then the conversation is real and hopefully it gets to the meat of it, as opposed to sending 5,000 emails back and forth and or hoping and praying that like Sally from, you know, major DSO 538 comes by your booth and hopefully you got a, you know, cool Yeti that, and she's a Yeti fan. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's pretty huge. How has it been working so far? Because how many of these events have you had? Was it just one or two? One, yeah. And how did the inaugural event go?
Amazing. We were down in New Orleans and, you know, everybody like had a little bit of like wait and see or like, hey, we're gonna like toe the water. We're not really sure how this is gonna go. There's other events or dental, you know, events that have done this kind of model before, but never to this scale that we have. And so they were kind of like this wait and see approach. And the feedback that we got was absolutely amazing. We are humbled by the success that we had. We're having even more success. Our next show next year is going to be in Las Vegas, October 1st through the 3rd. Sorry for the plug. But it's going to be a more is what we like to say. And basically, we're just going all in with what our model was last year, how successful it was, the feedback that we got from our vendors. And then also from these DSOs and GPs that were like, we would have never met with these people. We would have never had this on our radar. And now it's on our 26 roadmap, you know? And you're like, wow, that's awesome. Or, hey, we met with 30 people and we have 25 opportunities walking away. So when you have that kind of feedback, you're like, dude, we're on to something here. So pretty
Yeah.
exciting.
Yeah, because one of the biggest complaints I know from like the vendor perspective is that they go to events, they pay really, really high fees to have space at these events, and then they're pressured by the senior reps or whomever, you know, did you make any sales or did you get any leads? Or there's this like really long courting period for anyone that they meet at these events, and sometimes they just really don't go anywhere. So I know from a vendor perspective, there's always this pressure on the ROI. And quite frankly, I've been hearing a lot of vendors saying they're not getting an ROI on a lot of these events, and they're really trimming down the amount of events that they go to throughout the year. So what's your take on that?
Well, a couple of things. One is if you continue to do the same thing, you're going to get the same results no matter what. And then two, where ours is a little bit different about like full one-on-one meetings, that actually puts the onus on the person sitting in the chair, right? So if you're talking to a finance person and you don't typically sell to a finance person, guess what? You better come up with a way, and you should be able to come up with a way to make this a financial conversation in order to make it resonate with that person. And so ours guarantees that. Whereas I think a lot of these shows, they're really big, they're really great, and they're really in these fantastic places. And I like, they all serve a purpose. However, you have the hygienists and you have the office managers, and we have some people that aren't really decision makers at these events. And granted, they have a place, and don't get me wrong on that. Like, obviously, they have a place and they need to learn about these new items coming downstream or what's new in the industry. However, trade shows and events are made for business to happen. And so, if these aren't real decision makers there, or if they're just like there, but they're like at the bar somewhere, does that really help anybody move the needle? Probably not, unless you're at the bar and not at your booth, or in the coffee shop or wherever, the hallway meetings that everybody loves.
Yeah, I get that. And so, what do you think events that maybe don't embody Smile Together's model right now, what do you think are ways that these other events could improve how they're being run right now?
Well, I hope they never improve because that could just help our show. But I think it's that's a selfish comment. But at the same time, it's this is the real talk. So I will say, what can they improve on? I would say just engagement in general. But that's a fine line for everybody. And then who speaks and what are they talking about? Everybody wants to speak. Everybody wants to be on stage. And there's just not enough time. I think it's about getting the right people in the room and the right people at your company in the room as well, right? So that would be my biggest thing.
Yeah, kind of like a more targeted approach to these events instead of having like these broad swaths of intentions and people and
Yeah, that's a much clearer way
topics.
of saying what I just said. You're absolutely right. You should definitely niche down. Like everything right now, there's a lot of different industries doing this, but when you start talking about like what is it that you are truly trying to accomplish, and if you could like really hone in and focus on that one thing, you become the expert at that one thing, and you become the household name for that specific thing and that specific like target audience and that demographic. And the better you can do that, the better, like, I don't know, just sales and mousetrap that you can create, right? As opposed to saying, hey, we're gonna be everything to everybody. And oh, you wanna do that too? And you wanna do this? And yeah, we wanna throw a party. And yeah, we wanna do those meetings. And yeah, we wanna have booth space. You start getting into where you're trying to be everything to everybody. And instead of just being one thing and doing one thing really well, and then adding on over time.
Yeah. So at Smile Together, are there speakers there as well, or is it just the speed
Oh yeah.
dating type experience?
No, we have breakout sessions. We're dabbling into a lot of different things and a lot of different ways that we're just not ready to release yet. But at the same time, we are doing the speaking where we have, hopefully not the same people that are talking at every single event. And we're probably going to lean a little bit more into a podcast-esque type of setting where there's and panel, more panels, like broader questions. Let's kind of talk through these things and go through that as opposed to one speaker getting up there and talking about whatever it is.
Yeah, the same thing that we hear at almost every conference. Yeah. Yeah, I hear you there. And so during the speed dating round, like how fast are, I mean, how much time do people have
That's
to?
fast. It's 15 minutes. Well, technically it's 13, and then you have 2 minutes to like change to like go wherever your next one is. So we break them up into sections because you can only do like, I love, what I do, but after about nine of those meetings, like you would not be effective anymore. So we break it up into like 2 hour sessions. And then I think there's one session that's like 2.5 hours of like 15 minutes back to back to back. But then everybody needs a break. DSOs need a break. The GPs, like everybody needs a break. The hosted buyers need a break. Everybody needs coffee. Everybody needs to like, just like reset and then can go again. But so we break it up like morning, afternoon, that sort of thing. But like one person can do 30 meetings, right, at the event. So that's what we do. And so if you want more for your company, then you would just send more people, right? So
Yeah, I like
you're
that approach.
on that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of grumbling behind the scenes when it comes to events. I mean, a lot of people are going to them. Some people are really excited about it. Some people are reluctant. Some people think that it's like a necessary thing they have to do. One is the price point for a lot of these events, just for attendees. I mean, vendors are one thing, but just as an attendee, the tickets are, usually well over $1,000 to attend. And then, they're in hotels that usually have a high price point as well. And then getting there. So the price creep is certainly there for a lot of people, and it tends to price people out that aren't able to go or scrambling to find ways to attend through, sponsorship or tacking onto a vendor or something like that. What are your thoughts? I mean, sort of being new to the industry too, as far as like the price point for some of these events and just the sheer magnitude of how they're set up.
Yeah, I would say that, and that's where the ROI comes in, and you have to really hone in on what are you getting out of each show that you attend? Are you getting real results, or are you getting a lot of people that you scan their badge and they're really not turning into anything, but hey, we gotta go because like the industry says we gotta go. Well, but do you? And do you have to spend as much as you do currently? That's where I would just say everybody is getting smarter with their money. We all love events. We all love being in person. There's something special about that human one-on-one connection. And you can have those conversations that you just can't get anywhere else. But you have to, as a company and as an individual, go, am I getting the most out of my time at these other events that I've attended? And I think that's a real question that we have to answer. And if they start pricing themselves out of the market, then guess what? They better deliver, right? If you have a high price point, you better deliver. I mean, you better have like real, real, real results. Otherwise, it just becomes a waste of time, energy, and effort, and all the ancillary costs that are associated with, and just sheer opportunity costs.
Yeah, and I know more people are like kind of almost taking the Smile Together model and just a micro version of it for themselves personally, where it's like being really intentional when you go to events, like scheduling meetings ahead of time with people that you want to connect with or have one-on-one. A lot of events that, I attend now, you see all these like side meetings happening literally everywhere. I think at Dykema this last year, they were like running out of space for people to have kind of meetings, I know I was running around with some people trying to find space to chat, and there was like literally, I mean, we ended up going outside, but
We
anywhere
were in a
that seemed
corner
moderately
or
comfortable.
something. I don't know
Yeah.
when we met.
I think when we met, we couldn't find anything. We were like standing along a wall.
Yeah, it's like, hey, what's up?
I know it was like 20 minutes of trying to find a spot, and we're like, I don't know, let's just stand here. But
Right.
yeah, because I think it's like that's what's so important. And meanwhile, there's all these speakers on stage that, quite frankly, I don't think most people are listening to anymore. And if they are, people are in the back chatting or having meetings during that time. Like you're saying, there's so much activity going on in the hallways. And it's like, well, there's an opportunity to just everyone get together and see each other and have these meetings, but it's usually not for the intention of what the actual meeting is set up for.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, a lot of these meetings are turning into, I mean, I might get in trouble for saying this, but like they're client appreciation events. Let's call it for what it is. They're client appreciation events. It's fine, but then they're charging other vendors to meet with their own clients, and then but there's always like a, hey, we're actually putting this on, but like you're going to offset some of the cost for us. So then it'd be really great for you to meet our clients, and we're just treating our clients. And then, like, we don't really care about whether or not you had a great show. We just care, like, did you meet some people? And I think there's room. And what we have found is we're agnostic, right? All we want is for you to come back next year to this event and have it be a legitimate ROI that you actually have. And you can see true value from it. And so we're going to be unapologetic about that is this is our one and only thing. The way we make money, and so people could say, oh man, your prices or whatever. But this is our only event. We don't have a back end way to make money, right? We're not looking to buy your practice. We're not looking to consult you. We're not looking to sell you a product. We're not looking to do any of those things. All we're looking to do is to provide you with the opportunity to sit down with people who are in your target market and who you should be able to sell to. That's it. We have no skin in the game other than that. And I think that makes us a really great place for the dental industry because we don't. We're not trying to sell you a membership. That what we're trying to sell you is the product in which we deliver for 4 days. And that 4 days is, hey, we put everything into it. We have a Super Bowl moment, right? We call it literally is our Super Bowl, but it's all or nothing for us. These 4 days are all or nothing for our entire company. And so, like, not only do we have to have a lot, we plan for 365 days out of the year, 361, I guess. But at the same time, like, that's what we're doing. And I totally understand everybody's like where they're going. And those, please don't like take this out of context where I'm bashing those events. They have their place. I'm just telling you what our place is.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. And I agree, just the intentionality of it, and I love that there's no other hidden agenda because I mean, just like in anything in life, whether it's events, any kind of conversation, whatever it is, if there's some sort of hidden agenda or motive other than like the pure intention of it, like that bleeds through. You know, you can sense it and something always feels slightly off. So I think what is really cool with what you're talking about is like full transparency in, hey, this is what we're looking to create and this is why and this is how much it's going to cost and this is how we're going to do it and this is exactly what you're going to get from it. And I think that's what people are really craving, and just in general, you know, people are just really looking for transparency and honesty because we are filled with so much noise, so much clutter. I mean, it's like we're sifting through bullshit all day long, every day. We don't even know what's real or AI anymore. So just to have somebody say, like, hey, this is what's up and this is how it's set up, like that in and of itself is a breath of fresh air because we're all like, you know, our bullshit detectors are on like all the time now. You know?
They have to be. I mean, they just have to be. I listened to a podcast the other day and somebody gave this great intro to it. And then it was like notebook LLM or whatever it is, where it's like, the male and female like pretending that there is all AI generated. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And I mean, and then I turned it off, right? I'm like, I'm not listening to this. So yeah, but like you have to be. And again, to bring it back a little bit full circle is this is what, for me, this is what the dental industry is, authentic, right? Like you should be authentic. It's the same thing with a patient in the chair. If their doc is coming in and saying, hey, how's it going? Da, 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 da. But it's actually all just bullshit. Nobody believes that. And that patient is like, dude, you don't even remember me. Like you're just cleaning my teeth. You're not even like engaged. I don't know who you are, like all those things. And that's why you see people with like personal brands that are starting to really cultivate these like following, because when people come into their chair, they're like, oh, dude, like I saw you on that TikTok or whatever. That was hilarious. And they feel like they know them. And then that, the dentist in turn gets to have a deeper relationship with that person because it's on a different level and it's no longer just like, it's like pure, oh, wow, it's raining outside today. Like, this is really great. And you're like, oh, good grief. You know what I mean? We've all had those dentists before. And you're just like, bro, just move on. It's fine.
Like the small
Sorry.
talk is not necessary. Yeah, I like that too. And yeah, I appreciate that. I think that's something that does get lost. And I appreciate you even bringing up, you know, the idea of the patient, because before we started chatting, you know, that's something that I am always just like scratching my head around, because I'm always thinking, you know, at the end of the day, this is dentistry and we're all here to help the patient in the chair ultimately, right? I mean, that's like the end point of everything that's going on. And we kind of lose the humanity in that sometimes. And without the patience, you know, no one has any work at all, because you need patience in the chair to actually have the products that, you know, everyone's selling or promoting, you know, even for the doctors to be healthier and well. And, you know, from my side of like what I do on the personal development, leadership, strategy, operations, like it's all to help them show up better so they can ultimately serve the patients better if they're more emotionally, spiritually, you know, fit, mentally fit. And the same thing for the team members, right? And I think that can get really lost, especially in sort of these big, you know, events where it is this showmanship at times. And it's cool to get excited about the industry you're in, and it's cool to get together and have fun and have parties and stuff. And I think that's like in the spirit of things. And ultimately, it's still in the business of, you know, healing and taking care of, you know, people, patients. And so sometimes I think the groundedness of that can get lost at some of these like big events or experiences.
Yeah, I mean, and then I also think that that's where a lot of these vendors are like, you know, how do we get to these people, and how do we get, you know, into these different companies where they don't have those big budgets, right? They don't have those dream, hey, this is what it's going to take. And yeah, our show is not cheap by any stretch of the imagination, but at the same time, it does at least give you real life meetings, you know, and you don't get lost. You know, you're going to have your allotted number of meetings, and then you get to go and make that happen. And I think that was one of the coolest things last year, is just hearing the hosted buyers say, I would have never met with these vendors, and these vendors are so cool. And some of them, we did have like, you know, the staples, right? We did have some of the staples and the people that you would expect. But then we also had these smaller vendors that were just amazing and came with it and brought it and did great at it.
Hey, I just want to pop in on today's episode and talk to you about this new GPT I wrote called Boundary Boss GPT. And it's for those moments where you've said yes to something and immediately felt that pit in your stomach, or maybe you've now written 5 drafts of an email because you're trying not to sound mean, even though you're exhausted and you swear you've said this thing so many times to the same person, or you're kind of sick and tired of staying late, taking it on, smoothing things over, and wonder why you're the one that's always burning out. A lot of the conversations that I have on this podcast, we often hear about people hitting these walls of burnout and oftentimes not even knowing what to say. So that's why I built Boundary Boss GPT. It's kind of like having me in your pocket when you're about to respond to a text, email, or team issue, and you just don't know what to say because your people-pleasing brain is completely hijacking you. This is going to help you have clarity, confidence, and self-respect without the guilt, over-explaining, or the drama. Go ahead and grab it in the show notes below. It's totally free, and you're going to love it. Okay, now back to this awesome conversation. So something, we're going to pivot a little bit. So something I know you're really passionate about is coaching, especially kids' sports, which I thought is something that's really cool. And I'm sure that comes in handy as you're navigating the dental industry and your team and just folks in general, because we're all just a bunch of big kids trying to figure it out. And so tell me some of the stuff you've learned from coaching kids sports and why this is such a huge passion for you.
Yeah, I mean, I was the product of my dad was a coach. So then, you know, I was the son of a coach. And then I coach, you know, volleyball. I've coached wrestling, and wrestling's really like my passion. I don't know. I think that it's amazing to see what you can do with an individual once you like truly believe in them, and or what that individual is capable of doing, right? And some of my greatest moments in just my life in general have been from kids who have not had the most, or even have had people like believe in them, and then them go on to do great things, whether it be on the mat or on the court, but like in life, you know. And they'll call me and they'll do these things, and you're just like, all from just belief, you know, and they'll tell me like, yeah, it's just like you said, and blah blah blah. And then they'll repeat stuff and they're like, I attack every day. And you know, those sorts of things that you just don't know what kind of impact you're truly making. And that impact is something that you can't replicate in any environment unless you're coaching and unless you're inspiring others. And I think we all have a fiduciary duty to do that and to inspire other people. That's where it comes from. And I love kids. I love bigger kids, right? Like high school age group, like little kids, like, oh man, I love them, but you know, I love coaching high school students because they are such in a pivotal point in their life, and you can just see the greatest impact, I feel like.
Yeah, I really appreciate that because, you know, my upbringing was pretty whack, I guess, but I was an athlete growing up and three season athlete, and I had some amazing coaches. And I often say that the coaches are what really kept me together and had the biggest impact on my life. And totally the idea of like somebody just believing in you. And I think for a lot of people, just having someone believe in you, just even if it's one person, can make such a huge difference. And I always get really bummed out. I don't know if it's common as much now, but there was always conversations about eliminating sports programs from schools when it would come to like budget cuts and stuff like that. And my heart would always break internally when I ever heard or saw news stories about that because it taught me so much, like about myself, you know, not just the coaches that I had, the extraordinary coaches that I had, but just playing team sports was always so huge for me. It taught me how to collaborate, taught me hierarchy, you know, like as a freshman, and then eventually when I became team captain and the responsibility that went with that. And, you know, we always had training rules, you know, at my school. So it was this idea of discipline and, you know, walking the straight line. And of course, we'd like violate the training rules all the time and then figured out how to lie and get out of training rules, you know? So, but there was a lot of stuff that went into kind of the structure of it. And, you know, you had to keep your good grades so that you can continue to play sports. And there was just all this responsibility that went along with it. And it was such a huge, huge part of my life. And you're right, like when you're at those prime ages where you're still very moldable and having people come into your life that, you know, believe in you, show you some structure, you know, teach you some discipline, you know, praise you in areas that you might not be getting praise and that kind of stuff. It's pretty impactful. So I love that you're doing that. That's really cool.
Yeah, and even as adults, we need it, right? Like Kobe Bryant still wanted to be coached, right? Like Tom Brady still wanted to be coached. Peyton Manning wanted to be coached. All of these greats still want to be coached. We think that at some point in time where it's just like, oh yeah, well, I kind of got the answers or whatever. But if you're really trying to improve and you're really trying to like do something amazing, you don't shy away from getting coached. Now, each player and each person is a little bit different when you start to talk about adults, but you have to figure out how to meet them where they're at. And yeah, like you said, one of the most powerful phrases in all of history is because coach said. And I mean, that is what drives a lot of kids. And yeah, does it help get them through school sometimes? Yeah, like from a graduation, like just pure, bro, you gotta do this just so you stay eligible and just so you can check mark the box that you got a degree, you know, and regardless of what level that is, it is. But it's also, you know, you're a product of great coaches, you know, to think about how many, and like you said, there are plenty of, I mean, right now they're trying to cut a Division I wrestling program at CBU, which is, you know, my friend of mine is long time friend ago, is the head coach there. And like I feel nothing but like heartbroken for him. And these videos are coming out and you know, they're like, dude, we're losing this opportunity. And I wasn't, maybe it's a lower D1 program, but they're like, this school gave me everything, you know, and I came here to wrestle and gave me an opportunity. I met my wife. I met all these, you know, our fiance and all these things that all these kids are coming out and saying. And it's heartbreaking to hear that they're just, you know, doing away with the program and just all right, we'll see you later. Just because of like some, obviously we all have budgets and we all understand budgets, but at the same time, you're just like, I just don't know how this doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it goes in, it's such a huge part of someone's development, you know? I mean, I think I probably learned more from being an athlete and being on teams than I did studying, you know, from the books, to be honest, you know? And I can see the overlap, like even for you and the work you do now, because, you know, from a coaching perspective, you're kind of looking at the situation. If you're a good coach, you know, you're looking at the situation and you're like, well, how can I leverage each of these team, you know, these members of my team so that they're getting the best output for what they're putting in, you know, the best result. And I can kind of see that and how even with the event space, you're kind of almost, it's like a coaching opportunity for like these vendors and these potential customers of like, okay, well, you know, how do we create the best match, right? Like you're putting everyone, it's almost very athletic approach to the event where it's very strategic, it's very intentional, it's very lasered, and there's probably some athleticism to it where it's like come in, give your best shot, you know, go for it, and then on to the next. And so I really kind of get that energy behind it, which I think comes from the mindset, you know, being a coach as well, me, you know, like getting your mindset quite a bit as to that efficiency part of it and maximizing the potential for people, because that's what a good coach does, is to see the possibility and you know, nurture that in coming out of somebody.
We're coaching our vendors how to, position and how to, make sure that they're prepared accordingly. I think there might have been a little bit of a misconception of like, hey, these people are just going to show up and like you slide a piece of paper across and they're going to start signing. And I don't think that everybody had that experience, which I would question why you had that, why you had that thought. But at the same time, we are coaching them in, hey, this is how you have to approach this person, or hey, this is like, it may not be your exact, for somebody to say, hey, well, we only want to meet with, CXO, right? And like whatever the X is. And it's like, well, you have to be able to understand your product and how it fits in each one of those roles. So if they are sitting across from you, you can not squander that opportunity. And yeah, it might not be a marketing person. And yeah, it might like you might have more of a financial product, but you might be talking to a marketing person. Guess what? You better figure out real quick how to position yourself with that marketing person. Otherwise, you're going to get stonewalled. And I will say that that was like, if we had any negative feedback, that's what it was. And it's like, and I'm sorry, I provided you the opportunity. I didn't do the sales for you. You know what I mean? And I don't mean any disrespect behind that. I just mean that in a, hey, listen, you just have to understand how you're positioning. And like maybe we didn't do a good, like this is me looking back internally at, hey, maybe we didn't do a good enough job of coaching everybody and telling them like they're going to be C-level execs. How you approach a C-level exec based upon what their area of genius is probably something that you need to prepare for. And so that's what we're trying to do a little bit better at and saying, hey, listen, prepare for everybody in the C-level because guess what? Stuff happens. We thought we were going to get the CMO, but the CFO came. As a salesperson, I'm like, great. I'm talking to the money person. Let's go. Like, this is the person I need to get to sign the contract. Or I thought I was going to talk with the CFO and now I'm talking with the CMO, but I really want to talk to the CFO. Okay, well then how is that going to go down? You know what I mean? And you have to be able to jump those and on a dime be able to switch. And so that's kind of where we're doing a little bit more coaching on the onset as opposed to, and now being less reactionary, I guess.
Well, this is awesome. I mean, I could probably talk to you about this stuff all day because I have so many
I'd
things.
let you.
Yeah, this is great. Before we go, like, what's like one? I don't know. I hate these kinds of questions, but this is just what's kind of coming up. What do you have like one suggestion for vendors in like staying relevant in today's times? And I mean, aside from going to your event, but let's just say like, what's like a good? What are you seeing as a trend where you're just
Enough
like,
plugging.
man.
I would say that the biggest thing is, I mean, we all struggle with it, right? We go through times of like branding and being true to, staying in front of people. Like staying in front of people, that means 500 different million things to different people. But I would say everything right now is just personal brand and making sure that your brand is in front of people. And it doesn't always have to be about like the dental industry, and it doesn't always have to be about something, but people truly want to know, and they want to buy from people that they actually like and that they have commonality with, I believe. We're in a relationship world, right? Like we are. So how can you have a relationship with somebody and not even really know anything that's below the surface, right? And all you're looking at is, oh, you're wearing a suit and a tie, and you won't talk about your personal life, and you won't talk about some of the struggles and some of the things that you're passionate about. I think everybody is actually wanting that authenticity and wanting that from people. And so I would just say double down on building your brand and creating true relationships, because I'll tell you right now, I've been in various industries and have been more buttoned up, let's say, like earlier in my career. And it's done me well. I had success, but the depth of those relationships were not very deep. It was very much a, hey, how you are, how's it going, or whatever. And now this past year in developing like the relationships and really honing in on like authenticity has allowed my cell phone, I was looking for my cell phone, but has allowed that to like blow up with people sending me messages and then getting into like real world stuff that is helping build a better foundation for our relationship, but then also to like going deeper in on a personal level. And so some of the people that are some of my clients are some of my like really good friends now that we can go really deep on topics. And also it makes your text messages a lot more funny too, just in general, because you get a stupid meme from somebody that you weren't expecting, So I would just say go full in. And one last point, not to make a long point long, but the more that you're able to do that, the more that you find your tribe and your people that you actually like to hang around. Because we all like people. We're all in this industry because we like people. We don't, like we have a vet side, and like those people are in the vet world because they like don't want to talk to people. I mean, it's just fact. But like they like dogs and stuff, and that's good. We need that. But like the dental industry is a people community. And so we'll find more people that are like your people. And honestly, it has made my job a lot more fun in general, right? And just everything has more meaning because you're like, dude, I actually like these people that I'm working with. And it doesn't feel like work. It feels like energy, where you're like, yeah, people are like, oh my gosh, I spent 4 days at a conference. And yeah, they're exhausting. But I'm like, dude, I'm jacked up. Like, that was fun. I got to see all these people. I got to hang out with them. I had a lot of fun. And now we get to go back. And now I'm going to have like a drop down in energy because I don't get to see those people face to face, and I don't get to like feel what they're, putting off. So that would be my one big thing for everyone in general right now.
Yeah, I love that. And it cuts through the noise, right? Like you're saying, and it's that human connection that everyone's yearning for. They don't often say it or articulate it or know that they are, but a lot of people are really, really yearning for that connection. So, well, thank you, Michael. This was super fun. You're awesome. It's been fun getting to know you a little bit better this last year. And I'll probably see you at the Smile Together conference here coming up
Oh
soon,
yeah.
too.
We better. We better. Thank you for having me. You're a gem, and you do such a great job with this. I'm really enjoying all the episodes. So kudos to you.
Thank you. You just listened to the Real Talk of Dental. If it hit, if it stung, if it made you feel just a little more human, good. That's the point. This isn't about fixing practices, it's about healing people. And if you're brave enough to show up real in this industry, you're my kind of leader. Subscribe, call in, send your wildest workplace confession. And most importantly, don't clean up for anyone. The mess, that's where the magic lives. We'll see you again on the next episode.